Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you for your amazing career and inspiration. We've all benefited from it. You've been a remarkable player. You've had some good battles.
Yes, we have.
And I now forgive you for messing up Rondo's elbow.
Thank you.
It's been fun to watch. From the day you came into the NBA, we'd like to present you with this picture, all your accomplishments, and originally in a 2008 piece of the parquet floor of the Boston Garden. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate all you've done.
I can't thank you guys enough for this. Thank you. This is dope.
Did I score any buckets on that floor?
Yeah, you scored a bucket. Yeah. You scored a few too many.
Yeah, we weren't happy.
D. Wade making the farewell tour, and Danny Ainge presented him with a piece of the parquet. You know what he did? He went in the back room and said to one of the carpenters, "You got a piece of maple? Paint it green. Throw it in the frame. Just any maple you can find."
You know, it's not like it's the same floor for eternity. They have the gift pieces that they keep in the back.
The gift pieces.
Yeah. Go ahead and give them the. At least they didn't get a video. They didn't just honor them, stop the game after the first intermission or the first quarter, first time out, and give this long tribute video.
It seems like every night I'm watching ESPN and I'm watching the highlights, there's some presentation to D. Wade. Or of course, Dirk, when the game is over, we've got to swap the game jersey.
The jersey, right? He's got to sign that. It.
Yeah.
And somewhere Odell Beckham Jr. shows up because he wants to swap a jersey even though he's not playing that sport.
When did this idiotic habit, when did this thing start? Because now it's
someone
nonstop.
Should trace the genesis of this and try and figure out how it started.
It's tedious.
When was the first player to sit there and be obsessed with this?
Come on, see if you can find it for me.
What do you do with all the jerseys? If you're giving away to charity
in your
or something.
Closet?
I know he's a Hall of Famer, but.
Top 50 player all time.
Yeah.
Right? That's all you need to be
now, Luke. I'm just thinking, top 10, top 15, you do it. I mean, listen, they did
it.
They did it in baseball for David Ortiz.
What do you give to the man who has everything?
I get it.
In a word, more.
But he's been top 15 during most of his career, wouldn't you say? I mean, he isn't right now, though. I think he still can play a little bit.
Yeah.
But, as a backup.
That's what I mean. That's why I feel bad, because every time I see it, I just wonder, really? For him?
Yeah.
And I know. You look at his career, 15 years, great player. I get it. Won three titles.
I
get it.
They had a video for Jake
this
Crowder.
Bad. A David Ortiz.
And they have one for Kelly Olynyk.
Kelly Olynyk when he first
went to the Heat.
Come on, he got in a fight with
everybody gets a video.
A little too much or whatever. So the Celtics get off to this tremendous lead right out of the gate. I was really impressed. I'm sitting there going, okay, they're taking this game seriously.
17-2?
Yeah, something like that. At 20-4.
The leads mean nothing in the NBA.
They were up by 20 in the first quarter, 30-10, and they're off to a great start. And obviously, they know what's at stake here. Miami is still fighting to be in the playoffs. They're fighting Orlando, so you better bring your best. And I'm sitting there going, okay, this is good. Celtics,
do what they should
focus.
Do.
You took the bait again.
I did.
Do what they should do.
I did. And then as the game progressed on, you could see that once there was a little bit of adversity, once Miami went on a run, the Celtics became very tentative. And you know what they did? They started firing up threes here. And you could see they totally got out of the game.
I've never seen that before. I've never seen it before.
It's what we see every night they play.
So why would you ever expect
anything different?
They're the
ultimate front runners.
First of all, the season's too damn long, first of all. It's so long.
You keep on saying that about every season.
Nobody wants to play.
What season is not?
Nobody wants to play.
Every season is too long.
It's not too long.
Football's too long.
16 chances. You get 16 opportunities.
AAF?
That's
too
it.
Long. Seven
well,
weeks.
They,
it was
see,
too long.
I give the AAF credit. They realized their season was too long. They say, you know what? We played enough. Orlando Apollos, you guys are the champions.
I mean, around here, it's what, 5 months, 6 months, football season? 5 months?
Well, I mean, it doesn't really feel
starts
that way.
In
because
July.
It's,
really?
It's not really. It's just so
it's
long.
In July,
so
people start
I get
talking
it.
About it.
I get it because it's just.
Good morning.
They're not. They're just.
It's not October
not
to June.
It. I can easily see this team. They've talked about, wait for the playoffs, wait for the playoffs, wait for the playoffs. Okay, the playoffs are almost here. Thank God. Now we really get to see if
there's
we were all
switch.
Right. Because the switch doesn't exist. Okay, so, you'll get out of the first round. Say you beat Indiana. Don't get your hopes up for anything further. Don't get your hopes up. Don't think they're just going to figure it out. Even if they beat Indiana, they're going to think that they figured it out. Then they're going to get slapped in the face with a big dose of reality when they realize that, this team isn't Indiana. But I will say one thing, and I meant to bring this up to you, Lou.
Go ahead.
I think it's time that we retire Average Al's nickname.
He was good last night.
Why?
He's been good lately.
He's been great lately.
Where did retire a good nickname for?
You know what? Because
can it morph into something else?
Old Reliable?
Well, no, I'm just saying. Yeah, it could just morph into something else.
He's been excellent. When the entire team
I haven't called him Average
down.
Al all year this year. I've taken a couple of subtle jabs. But other than that, I've admitted all year. There's so many other issues on this team. Been good. When healthy, he's been good. Early on, I didn't pick on him because I didn't think he was healthy.
I would hold on to it because when his knee's bothering him.
You say hold on to it?
Yeah, I would hold on to it because when his knee's bothering him, he's average. And when he's healthy right now, a lot of the offense goes through him.
Playoff bell, baby!
He's been, you go back, what his numbers were since the All-Star break, and even in the last five games, almost 20 points per game.
Right.
The guy's been great. And in a season where everybody's been up and down, and I guess maybe just there's a more of an appreciation for his calmness, his ability to talk to the media, to not send mixed messages.
What does that have to do with it?
Because, you know what, it's refreshing when you get the opposite from everybody else. Everybody else who talks, you get, I don't know, just craziness.
With Kyrie. You get craziness.
You know, you get
Kyrie.
It with Jalen. Well, you get it with Marcus.
Yeah, there's so much
you get
much
it with Marcus Morris.
On.
You get it with all of them.
He's steady.
He's kind of like glue.
When he's healthy. You can see the knee is a problem for him right now.
Yeah.
And that may still be a problem, you know, down the road. But they were once again last night when they faced adversity. Miami had an opportunity. They missed three or four shots in a row down the stretch as they were closing in. It was a three-point game, four-point game, and they just couldn't make a shot. They make any of those shots, and I'm convinced that the Celtics just tighten up and that's it.
Well, see, those are the types of nights where even though they're not scheduled days off, this load management, that it could turn into that.
Right.
If they did their job, right? I mean, you could have just given off fourth quarters. Halfway through the third, guy don't play again. Plays 20 minutes in a game instead of 32. But they've done this now a few times. 25-point leads, down to five. Next thing you know, guys got to come back into the game. And they could lick a limit minutes left and right if they did their job. Last night was an opportunity and they couldn't. Because they gave it away. They coughed that lead up.
Is anybody convinced they go to Indiana on Friday and win that game? Anybody feel good about that game?
No. I don't feel good about the series.
I think it's a long series.
They'll get the fourth. They'll get the fourth seed. They'll get home court. They'll win that series. They will gut it out.
Seven.
They will win that series. After that,
they
though,
may need seven to win that series.
Sure. So what? Okay. So you,
well, that's
so you
a big get, difference, though. With a team,
it doesn't matter. They're done in the second round anyway. So you should, if you're a fan, you should hope it goes seven. So at least the series is exciting, and you get game seven at home, and then Kyrie, you know, does his thing, and then start the talk about what's going on in the next series. But I don't think they're getting out of the second round.
Yeah, and I don't think there's real excitement out there with the Celtics crowd. Friends of mine that are big Celtic fans, when I talk about it with them right now,
well, they've lost faith in them.
Lost faith, yeah. Because
yeah.
I don't think, well, because where they're in the standings right now, they're not at a high enough seed to go and win. You can't go through team after team and playing on the road. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, but it's just
the history of the game.
You're
it doesn't
looking at,
happen.
You're looking at their fourth seed, and you go, wow, they really should be a sixth because they've just not played. As opposed to...
No, they shouldn't be a sixth.
Well, my point is they're not
sixth.
No, but they're so talented that what's the difference for them?
Should be
so
a one.
Fourth or, they should be.
We all thought
and
going
that,
into
and
the season
issue.
They were a
so,
one.
So based on the way they've played, based on the expectations, based on the talent that they have and everything else that they got going for on their side, that's the best you can do? So
no.
What's the difference between a fifth and a sixth? A couple games?
Christian, they're the most disappointing
honestly.
Team in the NBA this
yeah.
season.
And I mean, I know that game on Friday... they pulled that game out. It was beautiful. Great game.
Yep.
Do you think that was going to be that close? Do you think they were going to just take care of business at home?
In
a big game like that against Indiana?
They should have.
I thought they should have, too. I thought they were going to win by more than that.
I mean,
you know, I just thought it would be more of a controlled game. They're going to finally show this team that... But that's why I say Indiana. I don't think that's going to be a 5-6-game series.
Lou,
I think it goes seven.
Lou, Indiana had been...
Anything could happen.
Indiana had been getting blown out on the road. They had lost nine road games
bad,
in a row.
They're not good in a row.
Terrible road team. And so they come in on Friday night and thought the Celtics would win, and I thought they would win fairly comfortably. I thought it was going to be a double-digit win, 10, 12 points,
me
something
too.
Like that. And so they go in that game, and they're in the game till the end.
I'm happy they won.
Yeah.
But I just felt like I thought it would be more of a statement.
But it doesn't give me a good feeling about Friday night in Indiana. I don't have a great feeling about tomorrow night in Miami because there were times in which, and I don't get it, in which the zone baffled them. And yet in the first half, they destroyed that zone of Miami's. Now, Miami couldn't put the ball in the ocean in the first quarter. I mean, they just couldn't, you know, get anything. But they are what they are. I mean, and I don't even think there's great excitement out there. I don't know, you know, what some of the green teamers feel, but I don't think there's great excitement.
I don't think anybody's looking
at it. Okay, we get to the playoffs.
Hey, you don't trust them.
No, you don't trust them.
No.
Come on, Debbie Downer.
And they've given you absolutely zero reason to trust them. You know, I mean, I know the green teamers, will, you know, you didn't trust the Red Sox. You didn't trust the Patriots. And it's the same thing with this team. Okay, fine. I mean, you're in a city where, like, you sat there and said, I don't trust this team, trust that team. They win championships.
Get the duck boat
the Celtics?
Ready.
You're going to tell me that team's going to just flip the switch and win a championship?
No, and here's the other one.
Find it first.
I heard it again last night. Gordon Hayward goes and he makes a couple of big plays. Gets up off his feet, slam dunk, and there's Tommy and Mike and everybody else they're talking about, oh, he could be a huge lift for them in the postseason, a huge lift. We've said this all year long. He makes a couple of good plays. He has a good game here or there. And what do we all say? Oh, here we go.
Well, then you're
we finally
hoping,
see
then
the real Gordon
then you're
Hayward.
That, like, that those nights, cream. That the timing has a big part of their success. Like, you end up hitting it on a day when Gordon Hayward goes off for 30. And you hope that that timing works out. Like, you're a benefit. So it's not just 30, you know, a useless 30 where they get blown out. It's 30 where it actually makes a difference. Not just, you know, padding his stats.
Yeah, see, that's how I felt about last night's game. After the great start, maybe I'm just asking for aesthetics. Maybe I want it to look good. Maybe I want it to be pretty. And so I'm looking at the first quarter, and I'm sitting there going, this is a team you go and just blow them out. Blow them out, right? I want to see this. I want to see you win by 35. I'm watching Milwaukee. I'm watching all these other teams. They win games by 35 on some nights at home. They just bury the opponent. That's the mentality you need going into the postseason.
They don't have it.
And
they
then last night, they've got that big huge lead, and I'm waiting for them to just drop the pedal to the metal. And what do? They let Miami hang around. And by the end, I'm watching a game that's going down to the wire.
I hope they lose by 40.
Why?
See, the reality is that everyone is still going to just wait on the talent. And they're going to wait until they get bounced in the postseason.
Yeah, but collectively, it's not working.
No, I'm just saying. They might squeak by Indiana, and they'll lose to Milwaukee in four and five games.
Right, most likely.
Five games. Yep. Maybe they'll win one at home.
Yep.
And then you might actually be, you know, people might actually be like, okay, they weren't as good as I thought.
You
but it's going to take
right
that
now.
Point. For some people. I think other people, most people don't trust them. But they're still out there that believe in the talent. You know, especially the people nationally who don't have to watch this team play on a nightly basis. They just look at the talent and say, they're going to figure it out. They're going to flip the switch.
So I saw the excuses. They go to Brooklyn after they win that game against Indiana at home. Nip and tuck game till the end. They go to Brooklyn and there's no Kyrie and there's no Al Horford in that game. And so what do I hear the next day when they lose that game in Brooklyn? Oh, what did you expect? They didn't have Kyrie. They didn't have Horford. What did we all say at the beginning of the season? This team was going to be a number one seed in the East, especially with LeBron out of the conference. They're probably going to go, matter of fact, they're the odds-on favorite to go to the NBA Finals. And oh yeah, here's the good news. Here's why they're going to win so many games. Because they're the one team in that league that can absorb injuries to key players, and they have so much talent, so much deep talent, they're going to be able to win those games. They go into Brooklyn, which, by the way, I'll give Brooklyn all the credit in the world. The coach is getting a new deal, and he deserves it. They have been the overachievers of all time. They've been unbelievable. DeMarcus Russell is suddenly the comeback player of the year, right? And you tell me, when I look at that team, the Celtics on Saturday night, we're willing to write that off because they didn't have Kyrie and they didn't have Al Horford? Mm-hmm.
So they will lose to the scrappy teams, the hungry teams, because right now, it's not really that important to him.
Yeah, but your bench guys should be the scrappy guys. Terry Rozier, when he gets an opportunity to go play 35 minutes, should go and be that
See,
scrappy
this is why
guy.
This is why this.
That's
the,
what he
the,
wants in
the
life.
The playoffs are actually going to be, regardless of how far they go, it should be interesting because now you're really going to say, okay, did they find a switch? Did they come out with so much energy and so much effort? Or did when Terry Rozier comes off the bench or Hayward goes off, they just wilt.
We'll see.
And it's not the same.
We'll see.
Because they're not, Terry Rozier is not the primary guy anymore.
No, actually, I think they're frauds. And I think they're sort of hiding behind the whole, it's just a regular season, we'll flip the switch. But they're not this type of team. This isn't a veteran LeBron James-led team that can do that. But they're still holding out hope, and they're just using that as an excuse here down the stretch as they don't play good basketball.
They're not good anymore.
You know what I mean? We'll wait till the postseason. But this isn't the type of team that can do that.
No.
Well, because they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, they'll just flip a switch? They haven't played well all year. They have been inconsistent from day one.
Can I tell you, though? I don't sense and we laughed about this earlier in the year because the Green Teamers were still saying, don't worry, it will come together. I don't think the Green Teamers are pounding their chest talking about flipping the switch. And the number one Green Teamer of all time, does anybody listen to Tommy Heinsohn? Does anybody think that Tommy Heinsohn is sounding really optimistic and confident
after
about
every bad play, just,
about this team's chances in the playoffs?
Because they haven't put, forget about good games together.
Come on, move the ball.
They have a tough time putting good halves together. They'll give you a good quarter, maybe a second quarter, but they just can't do it.
Unbelievable. Did you hear this guy on with Dale and Keefe today talking about... Gronk.
Oh, I did.
Andrew Brandt. I did. We gotta be a lawyer. You know that, right?
Yeah, we gotta get to this because it's amazing to me that these people write pieces now on a distant stereotype of an individual, and they seem to think they know everything about him to the point where they can be very critical of him. He was so wrong in this thing. We get to it and your phone calls at 617-779-7937 next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
And this is a perfect example of a time in which Gronk being Gronk excuses a lot of behavior that otherwise would cause us to roll our eyes. I mean, Gronk in May will be 30 years old, and here he is at the championship parade, chugging cheap beer, shirtless, you know, groping his girlfriend, Camille Kostick. We're like, oh, that's Gronk. He means well, just like when he says a 69 joke at Super Bowl media night and then points to a female reporter and goes, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. We go, that's Gronk. He's not malicious. He's just a big dummy, a big fun-loving dummy. But it's Gronk, amazingly, can get away with a lot of things that otherwise I don't think would be acceptable in today's day and age.
That's Reamer. He said this a while back, and the reason we throw that out there.
It's still an old take. Yeah. I don't care if you said it 6 months ago. That was said 3 years ago.
Well, Andrew Brandt wrote about it here today.
Oh, and then Mr. Andrew Brandt had to write about it.
He calls Gronk a likable meathead.
Yeah. Yep.
Likable players can get away with things that players with a more serious tone cannot. And said that he would be injured less and have a more productive career had he not partied as much as he did. Let me just try.
I know. Hold on. I'm going to give him a little bit. He protected himself. That's what he meant. He didn't want to have to, you know, support it in any way. But he said, is it fair? Is it a fair question to ask whether Gronk would have been injured less and had a more productive career had he partied less?
What do you mean? Lifting beers?
First of all, that's
wear out your arm?
No, it's not a fair question. It's a stupid question. It's stupid. It's so dumb. Lou, played professional sports.
Well, go ahead.
Glenn, you thought you did, but you never actually participated.
I never did, Christian. I can verify that.
But you hung out with a lot of athletes, right?
I did.
Okay. Celtics being, they won a lot of championships. Those guys party?
Yes.
Do they stay up late, smoke cigarettes, drink beer, chase women, on the road?
All of
they
the
can
above.
Say yes. Okay, you know, yes. You don't have to name names. Right. This is so stupid. Does he think Gronk is the only guy in the NFL that parties like crazy?
Well,
especially a young guy.
Wow. The stupid part that I feel is that, you know, we have to. Is it off season or during the season?
He doesn't realize that it's off the season.
During the season, have we seen videos on a Friday night of him down in Providence or something at some bar? Or,
no. Right? You know what he's doing in the season?
Off season.
Community stuff. He's doing charitable stuff during the season.
Because I'll say this. I have, you know, obviously you play with guys that party all the time. And in baseball, it's a little bit different, right? Because it's...
Because you really party every day.
When we go on the road, you can't... Yeah, guys go out every night after a game. So
need a release.
I have seen guys, played with guys that said, you know, they might have cost 3 years of their career because they didn't take care of themselves. You know, I mean, you go out and drink every single night. Obviously, your body, you're not going to live as long as you would if someone who doesn't drink. Or, you know, you won't be as good or whatever is committed. So, I've seen it, but I've also seen guys go out and have fun and it not be that big of a deal.
No, I'm motorboating you.
So, you know, in football, I just don't I don't see that that's something that Gronk does during the season. It's, in the offseason, do whatever the hell you want.
It's in, you know, he had him, they had him on in the midday show, and Keith asked them and brought this point up that, you know, the fact is that Gronk is unique. You're not going to see another guy like him in a long, long time. So does he get a pass? I don't even call it a pass. What does he do that is so dangerous and bad? What? Oh, don't be like Gronk, everybody. He drinks and he likes to party in hot tubs when he's 20 in college. Don't do it.
So, Christian, let's do it this way. Has he been charged with assaulting women?
No.
Okay. Has he had a DUI?
No.
Yeah, no.
Okay. So, and I've seen him at charity events during the course of the season. He's not drinking, guys. I've been involved where he's been one of the people that had to get up there and speak. But hold on. There is a difference. What this guy is looking at, he's looking at the celebration on the duck boat. Okay. Keith brought up a great example. Alex Ovechkin. He spent the entire summer celebrating the Stanley Cup. Every single night on ESPN, he would be in a different place with the freaking cup. He was visiting other players in their towns and cities when they were celebrating with the cup. That's fine.
Get all the chicks wet.
It's off season. You can do that.
But see, to me, Gronk being Gronk, it didn't start with like the pictures dancing. You know, it didn't start with, what's her name, BB Jones, whatever the hell her name is, right? Or him at some club dancing. It didn't start with that. To me, it started with when you first started to know who Rob Gronkowski was. And there might have been a sit-down with him and his brothers and his dad, and you're like, holy Jesus, what's up with this guy?
Draft night, Lou.
Yeah, what's up with
draft
this guy?
Day.
Or just,
fiesta.
Yeah, anytime he's on the podium and the way he's talking and he's joking, it's the vroom vroom stuff, right? It's
right between my butt cheeks.
It's the jokey stuff when you actually heard the guy for the first time. You're like, this guy's a goofball. Then the pictures came of him dancing, grinding at a club, and you're like, that's Gronk. But it's not just because of a picture being out, like a picture of him drinking. You say, oh, that's Gronk being Gronk. You knew the individual beforehand. You knew he was a goofball beforehand. That's why he gets away with it, because that's his personality.
Do you remember the, this is just one example. Do you remember, I think it was the Tennessee Titans offensive linemen all went to a Nashville Predators game. And they were all seen with their shirts off, guzzling beer, just going nuts. I mean, just going crazy. That's just one example of something that happens all the time. You're just in Vegas. I guarantee you there'll be so many players from all these different cities that go to Vegas during the summer to hang out at the Hard Rock Pool, wherever pool where all the women are at, and they party their ass off. It does not diminish their ability to play their game. And yes, there are a select few that, oh man, you got so hammered, you can't work out, or you did something stupid, and you broke your ankle.
But he this morning brought up like a photo, you know, him drinking with Johnny Manziel, right? And he's talking about that. And I'm like, well, if I see a photo of those two guys drinking in Vegas together, I do think two different things. But I think that Rob Gronkowski's out there goofing around having a good time. And I think Johnny Manziel's about to go back to rehab. You know what I mean? Why? Because of the reputation of these two individuals. Gronk is what he is. He's a jokester. He's a clown. I've heard him in press conferences. You know who he is. So you see him out there dancing, having fun.
That was a paid appearance, I believe.
But I'm just saying, Johnny Manziel put himself in rehab. His father came out and said he deserves to go to jail. If not, I'm going to bury him because I know he's a druggie. He needs help, you know, and he got suspended for substance abuse. He's got arrested a couple times while in college. I mean, he's had constant allegations of domestic violence. So when I see Johnny Manziel party in Vegas, I'm thinking this guy's got problems.
Yeah, but this
when
guy,
I see Gronk doing it, I laugh because he's a goofball.
Yeah, but this guy, Andrew Brandt, is taking the visual that you're talking about, and he's extending it well beyond that. Because we see him up here. He's not doing this during the course of the season. He's a guy that likes to party. First of all, he's a single guy, and single guys are going to be treated differently than married guys. Derek Jeter could do whatever Derek Jeter wanted to do during his playing career because he was a single guy, and nobody was going to criticize him for it, right? If a married guy is doing some of that stuff, being seen in a picture with a porn star or something like that, it's viewed much differently. This guy really is missing the point.
This was a reach of biblical proportions from this guy, Andrew,
well, because right? He doesn't know the guy or doesn't even understand.
And I get it. But here's the thing. It's not like he's, you know, a rookie. It's not like he's been in the league for 2 years. He played 9 seasons. He's a long track record of playing the right way, partying the right way, I would say, because if you're going to do it, hit it hard in the off season.
Whoa.
Like, hard. But I rent a boat. So I shipped.
But I could tell when I was listening to this guy, and I've only heard a few of the cuts of it. I did not hear the entire interview. But when I did hear some of it, you could tell he really has no idea what he's talking about with Gronk.
He's such a likable guy, and I admit to that. I like him. But I just sort of I'm an observer in the way that he's treated publicly from fans and media, and this is beyond New England. And it's likable, and it's lovable. People kind of say his name and almost smile as they say it. And sort of this meathead and using these sort of caveman terms, I think it belies probably the intelligence that he has, which is more than what people sort of suggest.
All right, that's a stupid statement right there. You don't know him. I mean, he's putting on an act at times, and so maybe part of it is the act. But the reason that he's lovable is he does nobody any harm. So the reason that you churn on certain individuals is because they do hit women. They do stuff that breaks the law. This guy's not done none of that. Does anybody really believe that New Englanders would sit here if he were beating up women? That we would be sitting here saying, oh, that Gronk act is really funny. It's really cute. Are you kidding me?
Right.
If he were Greg Hardy and he still had that same Gronk personality and he was doing things like that, we would be sitting here in New England? Well, sitting here giving him an easy time.
I thought people were critical. Because I remember talking about it. I remember not being happy. Remember that one?
When he was dancing?
Super Bowl. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't himself. He wasn't 100%. They lost the game to the Giants. And after the post game party, he's out dancing on the floor.
And we gave him a lot of grief.
And I'm like, hello, listen, lady. You know, you're obviously not 100% in the football field. You lost the Super Bowl and you're out dancing with your brothers. You know, so there has been times where he's gotten a little bit of criticism. But that to me is just a guy that looks at Rob Gronkowski, doesn't know him. He sees how everybody loves him. You know, there's just some people in the world that just don't like people that are loved by everyone.
Yeah, but he's shaking
so
his head.
So he's just like, I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
To well, me, why does he get a pass?
You know what? I'm going to write an article where I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Well, because you don't know him.
That's it. See, and that's
I don't expect you to get it.
No, see, you're a drive-by attacker
like
here.
You
don't know the guy. You don't know anything about him. And he didn't even do any legwork. He kind of admitted, you know, I like him too. He didn't do any legwork. He didn't go into it and find out. Has Gronk ever gotten in trouble during the course of a season?
Wow, that's a tricky question. You know,
has Gronk ever been a problem, for an example, at a client event that the Patriots have had? Because we've never heard of any of that stuff ever happening.
If I said Manny being Manny, What would that mean to you?
Manny, well, just clueless.
Yes.
Yeah. He's a dope. Yeah. Lazy.
Like him smacking, sometimes throwing Jack McCormick to the ground was not Manny being Manny.
Yeah,
Manny being Manny is taking time out to go and take a leap behind
the Christian. Being the cutoff man when he shouldn't be the cutoff man.
Right.
Just doing stupid stuff, excusing his behavior. That drove me crazy because to me, Manny being Manny meant Manny being an a-hole. That's what it meant to me. And so, and when you say Gronk being Gronk, it's easily identifiable as nothing bad whatsoever. It doesn't work.
No, and
you can't explain it.
And by the way, as great as Manny was as a player, because he was phenomenal.
Yes.
You talk about getting every cent worth of his $160 million free agent tag. We got all over Manny because his actions were childish, immature, and they hurt the team. Gronk has done none of that stuff ever. He's never done it.
No.
And yet there's a guy who views him, I think he views him like Manny. That's what he does. That's what he does.
Well, I almost feel he's views him as Manny and with a little bit of Johnny Manziel, but just a little bit luckier than Johnny.
How is he any different than Ovechkin?
Those two.
Ovechkin in the offseason, you win, and Gronk has won a few times. Like Ovechkin
in
the offseason.
Someone like that wasn't upset with the way we celebrated Ovechkin, how funny we thought it was that he was drunk 24/7 for 2 weeks.
Right, you've been trying to win the cup how many years?
People were following him on Twitter. It was hysterical. Where's Ovechkin? And every time you saw him, he was bleep-faced for 2 weeks. I guarantee I think that's ridiculous that we're celebrating an athlete who's drunk. Oh, he's just having a fun. It's a good time. It's a harmless.
How about this one?
Now, if he went out there and killed somebody, we wouldn't think it's fun anymore. If he went out there, like you said, and was smacking girls around while he was drunk, we wouldn't think it's fun anymore. But if he's just harmless and he's drinking and he's naked with the cup, what the hell do I care?
Have we ever seen Gronk walk in with a glass of wine as he was walking into a Gillette Stadium, maybe
Gronk
on a day that he was unhealthy and couldn't play in that game? No, but we saw LeBron James, best player in the NBA, do it one day, right? So was that irresponsible?
How about walking the streets of Boston with your shirt off, smoking a smag, drinking a Bud Light?
There you go.
And we celebrated Napoli like he was a Superman.
Exactly.
Because it's just whatever. It was funny,
well, he gets
right?
The pass.
It was funny.
It's a little bit different. All right, let's get into this Gronk thing. It's 617-779-7937. Is Gronk taking an unfair beating here by a national guy who simply has no clue of what this guy does during the season? We get to the phone calls coming up next. 617-779-7937.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
Who has done what Gronk has done and gotten criticized?
You know, that's a fair question. I just think, if I bring up one name, then it becomes pejorative, and he has a terrible career. But the only guy you can sort of see in those partying pictures as much as Gronk is someone that Gronk's been in pictures with, named Johnny Manziel. And listen, stop. I know we're not
no,
comparing.
No, I got you.
All right. But even let's say Johnny Manziel was a great player. With all the partying, would we sort of say, Johnny being Johnny? I don't know. Maybe that's, you know, what I'm trying to say. Take away that Manziel stinks and put him in that. What are we saying about it?
See, here's the problem with this whole premise, Andrew Brandt. You can't throw Johnny Manziel in as an example. And then you said, well, what if he was a great player? Well, it goes beyond great player. There are other issues. There are legal issues with Johnny Manziel. You can't do that. What do they have in common?
Plus, it's so different, and that's why Gronk is so unique. Johnny Manziel was a spoiled rich kid, got everything he ever wanted. There's stories, there's articles written about how he was such a baby, even playing golf, he'd throw his clubs into a lake, and his dad used to always be concerned with him.
I was able to use my dad's points.
And explain to him why he can't act out all the time. That's a different perspective. As far as, and the reason why he doesn't even want, he brings up, Andrew Brandt brings up Johnny Manziel and says, no, don't use him.
Then why don't you use him?
Because you know what? There isn't a comp.
No.
Right. There isn't somebody that you can even compare him to. And the closest guy you can get to, all right, maybe Odell Beckham Jr. Even then, I'd say no.
Because the resume and the history is different.
And yes, the attitude does have something to do with it. The way somebody carries themselves, how serious they take themselves. It's kind of part of it.
I mean,
Odell Beckham Jr. Thinks he's the next best thing to ever walk the earth.
Well, I'm just saying that Gronk, they were, you know, unfair. Remember the whole Brady thing? If Odell Beckham did what Brady did in the sidelines and whatever. Well, did any of those guys ever have like a Josh? Who was the defensive back for Washington? Josh Norman. Any of those guys ever have one of those incidents in the middle of a game?
No.
That was one of the most embarrassing things in football. You know, I mean, and it's part of who Beckham is, you know, and he's had different things on these sidelines or in-game stuff where you sit there and question, you know, the mental stability of the guy. Johnny Manziel, that's a guy, again, his father was afraid he was going to die. He admitted he was a druggie, a junkie. He went in for rehab. So right then and there, he is now out of, you can't compare Gronk to that because that's real.
That was his comparison. He threw that out there and then said, well, might not be. No, it's not fair.
Johnny Manziel's a guy that had a concussion and missed the final week of the season with the Browns, the game, and was in Vegas that night.
Right.
Have you ever had an incident like that?
No.
So it's, you can't compare it.
Now, during the course of the season, Gronk has been extremely responsible. Okay, responsible with the partying, the drinking, all of that stuff. All right, you get to the off season, it's a different story. He likes to party. He's a single guy, and so you've got to base it on what he is. You can't compare it to some of these other people.
Is that your name, Babcock?
Did we ever have a situation where he was sitting in a courtroom?
Yeah, no.
Because other guys we're talking about were standing in a courtroom.
To me. It kind of so Derek Jeter played a long time and never had any issues.
He was always around women. But he
always.
He talks about being with bikini-clad women or whatever.
Derek
Jeter was there all the time.
Yeah, but it was never public with Jeter.
No, but my point is...
It was always
is,
like caught oh, out no, with model, supermodel this one or supermodel that.
Time out. He was such a nightlifer that they did a MasterCard commercial, TV commercial with him and George Steinbrenner, in which Steinbrenner would taking his card away from him. They did a commercial about that because Jeter, early on in his career, was a party
animal.
Yeah,
but he wasn't running around with his shirt off. It didn't have a frat boy vibe to it.
It was more private.
More sophisticated.
That was one of the impressive things with Jeter, was that it was all private.
Yeah, the length of Jeter's career, there was never anything that I ever saw that would diminish anything that he did on the field.
Well, you
couldn't
take anything away from him. You didn't have social media then, so you didn't have all these.
But I'm just saying, again, one guy's got a frat boy mentality, and the other guy is more sophisticated, Madison Avenue.
To me, the whole Gronk being Gronk wasn't about a picture at a club, you know, or even a video at a club. It was more about listening to him talk. You know, it was putting a mic in front of him and just hearing him speak. That you always laughed at. That's why you had the opinion of Gronk being Gronk. So when you saw a picture, you just laughed. If you know, when he spoke, or if I knew that he was had serious problems and was in and out of the league because of alcoholism and drugs, and I saw a picture of him in Vegas, I wouldn't laugh. But that was never him.
Little math problem. Yeah, six times nine plus nine.
You're right. That was Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel, we sat here and felt bad for the kid. You're worried about, you know, his future and whether they're not going to find him dead in some alley, right? We've talked about that.
So you saw him at some party at Texas A&M when he's in the NFL, you worried about him more.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
Because you said the guy's got problems.
You're not worried about Gronk. And no. You know, he throws it out there that he thinks he's brighter than he shows. Well, of course he is. He's trying to play part of that game. So Ben Volen has put out a piece that makes all the sense in the world, and yet it makes zero sense. So he's talking about, have you seen this team over the past 2 months? What a mess. Its top two free agents bolted for other teams. Defensive coordinator, four position coaches all left. Character coach, a trusted voice in the personnel room, chose not to come back. Star player retired, no replacement in sight. Team whiffed on every notable free agent wide receiver. And to top it off, the new defensive coordinator abruptly stepped down after a month on the job, leaving this team without a defensive coordinator just 2 weeks before the offseason program begins. Oh, what's that? The dysfunctional team described above is actually the defending Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. The totality of items listed above would crush most teams. We would make fun of their ineptitude and joke before the season even begins about the Patriots winning their 11th straight AFC East title. And we didn't even mention what's going on with the owner. But these are the Patriots. They're still the Vegas favorites heading into the 2019 season. The most recent over-under win totals for next season have the Patriots leading the way with 11. And then he goes on and on and on to talk about it. And he's exactly right.
He is.
Most teams would.
Because I like the one point, because we haven't even mentioned the owner.
Right.
And
we'll
what
get
he's
to,
going
we're
going
to get to him in a few minutes. But if you look at this, most teams at this point would just implode. Instead, we can't even muster up phone calls where people are calling up saying, oh, my God, I'm so concerned about the Patriots.
You got all this dysfunction.
This team is in trouble. Why? Because
we've been conditioned past it.
Curran wrote the same thing a few days ago.
He did.
I mean, it was the same exact thing. He actually says, and he's right, nobody wants to edge out onto the thin ice and proclaim it the loss of a Hall of Fame tight end, multiple free agent swings and misses, coaching departures, cold feet of Greg Schiano is going to doom them in 2019.
I'm not down with that.
Because he talks about how last year it was, you know, after that Pittsburgh loss in December, we were all like, man, I don't buy this team. And it was just the white flag just came up and said, listen, he talks about it. He's like, surrender.
Yeah, we look like fools.
You know, surrender. Okay, they're going to figure it out. And Volen's absolutely right. You're telling me if the offseason that the Patriots had right now wasn't like the Jets? And all these coaches left, and their owners dealing
season
legal battles.
Done.
And,
put a fork in
one of their best offensive players, a Hall of Famer, just abruptly retired with no plan in sight to replace him. You know, you would sit there and say this exact same thing. What a mess. Imagine if this was Pittsburgh. What a mess.
I saw ESPN. I saw ESPN dropped him to number 3 in their power rank. He's behind two NFC teams, New Orleans and the Rams. But look at Vegas. 11 wins. Highest on the board.
Oh, boy.
So here's the thing. So
with an easy schedule,
last year,
by the way.
You think?
I always
it's an easy schedule.
You always think that, but you really don't know how good a team's going to be. I get it, right? You gotta slot them somewhere. But you never know. Teams could catch fire. Next thing you know, the Raiders are good and everybody believes in them. The Green Bay Packers, new coach, new offense. The Pittsburgh Steelers, people looking at them thinking, oh, they're done. They lost two of their best players. I don't see it with them either. But as far as like their win-loss record goes, they were 11-5 last year. Why is it so unheard of to think that they can go 10-6? Why wouldn't they? Why do you think that's? You think that's? But you, that's you, not possible.
Yeah, I don't. Think
I
it's
would be
that
shocked
easy.
If they go 10-6. I think it's more likely they go 12-4.
They're not going. They're not going to win in 12 games. If anything, they're an 11-5 because 11-5 or 10-6 is going to be their sweet spot. And I wouldn't be surprised if they were 10-6.
I saw somebody wrote it, and I'm trying to find it right now. When they were breaking down teams, and the Patriots had the fewest of those playoff teams on their schedule compared to other teams in the AFC, and they had more bottom dwellers. So in other words, teams that you're going to favor them 95%, they're going to win those games. So they've got a lot of easy games on their schedule, and they've got the six games within the division that are going to be easy pickings.
I think their tough games are at home.
Yeah, and the tough games are at home. That was the other thing.
It's a great home schedule.
Yes.
I mean, as far as a fan goes, right?
Can you read it off real quick?
Well, they got obviously the AFC East teams.
Yep.
Then they've got Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Dallas, Kansas City, Giants. I mean, those are five.
They're going to win those games, guys.
The Giants aren't that good.
Yeah, but they always win at home, and they win especially against the AFC at home. They've had a great track record against them. They are. They're going to probably, and they'll figure this out. There are guys that they will find, and they will figure this out. There's still a bunch of free agents
out
there.
To me, we always do the same thing, Glenn, and we usually don't say it until week three or four, and it's, what's different? What's so different from this year to last year? What's so different between this offseason to last offseason? I would say a lot. I mean, we're glossing over, like, because we've seen it so many times, and you've been conditioned to look past the issues. You've been conditioned to say, you know what, they'll figure it out because they always have. It's got to end sometime.
Christian,
I mean, come on.
So when somebody hits me over the head and it hurts, I expect that the next time they hit me over the head, it's going to hurt again. Okay? So I expect that the Patriots are going to once again figure this thing out because they've got it figured out. Until you tell me that this guy or Brady is done. And they walk out, all bets are off. Then we start from scratch. Then we talk about a different team. We talk about them like a normal NFL team. Until that time, till Tom Brady's game falls apart,
guys?
Or Belichick is out of here, you can talk about the coaches. Everybody can talk about the coaches and all the coaches they've lost. Are you really concerned about the coaching staff right now?
Yes.
Really?
Why would you not? You think Gerard Mayo, who's been doing TV with Tom Curran, is just going to jump in and just recognize every single thing and understand how to, one, be a coach, manage his time, and then coach the players?
No, I think Bill Belichick will get more involved in the defense.
But that's your answer.
I think that's what's going to happen.
It just seems like I think that is the answer.
But here's the thing. Why do we think one of the reasons why it was so important to keep Josh McDaniels last year? Right, and we heard it
because of the continuity with Brady.
Yeah, yes, but you're also losing Patricia, and he was going to take a couple guys with him, and it was going to be a lot of coaches leaving, and you're able to keep him, and so that whole thing. You just need a defensive coordinator to come in. They have lost everything. I mean, a cornerback, defensive line, defensive coordinator. No, I'm not. I'm not worried. Again, this is like the current article. This is what Volan's saying. It's because of what they've done in the past, but they have lost a lot. They lost a lot in that coaching staff, especially this character coach, too. You have people talking about him, and they've lost a lot.
So what's to say that the people behind him, some
Bowen's
of these young
absolutely
guys can't
right.
do
I'm
it.
Just saying, when you look at all the coaching staff that they've lost, and you lost your starting left tackle, and you lost your defensive end, your best defensive player, and you lost Gronk, and you haven't replaced him with anybody in free agency, any other team, forget about what's going on with Kraft, any other team we'd be laughing at. And making fun of.
I already said that we would. But the difference is these guys have got a long way to go before we actually see this roster. As far as the defensive coordinator, I think Belichick is very capable of handling that. That doesn't worry me at all. And you still have Josh. So I would say you're right. If you lost Josh, versus losing Brian Flores and then eventually Schiano, I'd be far more concerned about it. But Belichick, I think, will just take a lot more control of that situation.
I want you to be by my side. I'm going to open my world to you.
But once the day we find out that Tom Brady can no longer do it, that his game is falling apart, or that Bill Belichick has decided he's out of here, all bets are off. Then suddenly it's all different. All right, 617-779-7937. Kraft and his lawyer crew had an interesting day in the courtroom. We get to that and the Patriots coming up next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.